From Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, this is Dugout Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
One thing that I really want the fans to know is that the marketing department exists in this organization to try to bring the fans closer to the club.
It's not a job, it's a life.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together, and there's a lot of special people, and makes coming to work fun every day.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
After he was finished, I just kind of raised my hand and said, okay, which wall do you want me to run through?
The real heroes are the wives. Baseball player wives put up with a lot as far as being by themselves, raising kids by themselves, their husbands being gone, spring training half the time during the season. They're the ones that put the housing together. They do everything, basically. So I just think that for the players, they need to understand how valuable that baseball player wife can be. They can make a big difference.
Welcome to the latest edition of Dugout Dirt. I am your host, Jared Couch, and that was Rangers bench coach Steve Buschel with a little insight into the personal lives of baseball players. In this episode of Dugout Dirt, we'll discuss more of what it's like to play Major League Baseball from a family perspective and how the hectic schedule impacts their lives. We'll hear from Adrian Beltre, Michael Young, Mike Maddux, Kobe Lewis, and Shin-Soo Choo later on in the podcast. But first, we want to get a wives' perspective and see what it's like from their side of the baseball world. Becky Kimbrough sat down with Susanna Moreland and Jenny Lewis.
What kind of emotions do you experience when you watch your husband play?
I mean, you get excited, you get nervous. Obviously, Jenny and I have both had to deal with watching our husbands go through injury and know that there's nothing in the world more that they wanted other than to be on the field. It's a big just ball of different emotions in general, really. Sometimes you just have to close your eyes and let what happens happen.
I'm still real silly because Colby's a starting pitcher. So the day that he pitches, I still get really nervous. Like, I can't eat dinner. I mean, it's like complete silliness because I have no control over what's going to happen on the field. But that's how emotionally invested we are.
Mm-hmm. Are you superstitious about the game? Like,
I have a few superstitions. I don't like to, once I sit down in my chair, I like to sit down in my chair. It's one of my things. I have a little catchphrase I say to Colby before he goes and leaves me for that day. So there's a few things that I do, not a ton, but there's a few things that I've adopted.
Both Susanna Moreland and Jenny Lewis met Mitch and Colby well before they became famous baseball players.
So you mentioned in the interview that you've known Colby since before he started playing baseball.
Well, Susanna and Mitch have known each other since. Longer than us. I was 19. Yeah, she was 13.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we've been on a family vacation. We were 13 and 14.
Wow.
And we were 19 and 21.
And what was your reaction when your husband or this man said, I want to play baseball for the rest of my life?
I asked him what he was planning on doing when he grew up for his job, and he said play baseball, and I said, well, then I better stay in school.
I honestly don't think, I mean, like, with Colby, I don't think Mitch ever saw himself doing anything other than playing baseball. It's just kind of something, honestly, that's, like, bred in them. Like, it's what they do, it's what they know, it's what they love. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, going through the minors and knowing what budget's like, mm-hmm. and we're going to stay in the night and, you know, do a sandwich thing. Like, I mean, you go through a lot with them mentally. And
I think Susanna and I are on the same page because we did go through the minor leagues and so much injury. Like, we still work on a budget. We don't spend extravagantly. We know that baseball has got a time cap on it. And so we're very responsible.
A majority of baseball games don't begin until 7 p.m. in the evening. And if it's a West Coast game, with the Rangers being in the AL West, could start at 9 p.m. Central here in Texas. And they'll last anywhere from 3 to 4 hours, and maybe even plus some if it goes extra innings. Then there's the 81 games a year on the road. trying to keep a child, especially during the school year, on a regular schedule, that's the son or daughter of a baseball player, can be quite challenging. I mean, what better excuse to stay up late than, hey, dad's playing on TV?
Are there little things that you guys do to try to keep life normal for your kids?
My situation's a little bit different because my children are school age. So in the summer, we just, we go to bed at midnight, we wake up at 10, we're completely on a baseball schedule. And that's normal. We have dinner very late, you know, 11, 12 o'clock, whatever, and that's normal. Mm-hmm. We have to adjust when school starts, and we're up at 6:30. The kids go to school, I pick them up at 3, and we're in bed by 8. So we have two different schedules that we live by. I think if you don't have school-age kids, you probably... What do you do during the off-season?
You heard Jenny say baseball schedule. During baseball season, it's baseball schedule. Like, Cruz stays up with Mitch until, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. They have their dinner together, and they watch the hunting channel and kind of unwind, and that's their time. And, you know, during the off-season, and things kind of, they have bedtime. It's like 8:30, mm-hmm. lights out.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to what a normal, like, school day, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Would be. And we have a lot more time together during the off season. Like, those months are very precious to us. I feel like they're short. You only get 3. And I don't know about Mitch, but Colby does 2-a-days. So he'll work out in the morning mm-hmm. and then he'll throw in the afternoon. And so he's gone for, you know, I would say 5 hours with driving and working out and throwing and then driving and what have you. So he does that. He's very good about doing that when the kids are in school. And then we get to have, like, you know, the kids come home from school. We do homework all together. We eat dinner together. And so it falls into a more, quote unquote, normal schedule then. But those are really precious to us. I know we put our kids to bed and then it's like, do you want to watch a movie together?
Yeah.
It's not 2 a.m.
Yeah. But it probably makes that time together more precious.
It really does.
Makes you appreciate it a little bit more.
It does.
Colby Lewis has one of the more interesting careers in all of baseball. He was once a highly touted prospect for the Rangers, but midway through his baseball career, he was having trouble solidifying himself in the big leagues as a starting pitcher. He was facing a situation where he was most likely going to be bouncing from AAA to the major leagues as kind of more depth for a Major League Baseball team. So Colby made a bold move. He packed his bags, him and his wife, left the United States and went to Japan to play baseball.
What was the decision-making process behind going to pitch in Japan?
For me, it was, I had a new baby. My son was just born. I didn't want to do the process of the back and forth anymore between big leagues and AAA. And it was, you know, there was some money on the line to where I could go and make a lot of money for my family. And I wasn't prideful in the aspect of, like, here I am, I got to be a Major League Baseball player here in the States. I was still getting to play the game I loved, and it was just in a different spot. And it was overseas. It was a situation where, like I said, still the game I loved, and was able to make money doing it and for my family. I thought I was going to finish my career there. So,
was it a tough decision initially?
For my wife, it was. Once I got her over that little hump of getting there and getting her motivated to go, and then once she got there and got established, it was really easy. Especially you know, halfway through the first year, and then the second year was cakewalk.
What was that first conversation like with her?
She really was you know, real tentative, and but I felt like me being the man of the house, knowing that I had to take care of my family, and it just didn't really take a lot of convincing. It was just more reassurance towards her.
Did it reveal anything that you didn't know, or did it change you, you know, your approach to the game or life?
I don't think it really changed me too much with my approach in the game. I've always wanted to go out there and be the guy lead by example. I haven't ever been real super vocal, but life-wise, absolutely. Culturally, you know, learning a different way of life. You know, we didn't have a car over there. We rode a bike everywhere. You know, it was city living, and I didn't grow up that way. It was just it was a really, really good 2 years of my life. I felt like I got to spend a lot of time with my family. kind of like what the States doesn't allow you to do in during the baseball season. You know, if you didn't pitch when you were in Japan, if you didn't pitch as a starter, if you didn't pitch on the road, then you didn't have to go on the road. You only had to stay for 5 innings throughout the game. And I was home by 8:30 every night. Game started at 6 o'clock, you know, so it allowed me to spend a lot more time with my family, and especially with my son being very young. I really enjoyed that.
Sure, there was a language barrier.
Yeah, the language barrier, of course. I mean, anytime you go into a foreign country, you don't know the language is pretty tough. We had, the wives had a translator. We had a translator. I felt like I was real lucky to have I had an American manager and an American bench coach. So it was real easy for me to communicate to my manager and not have that gap.
The decision to come back to the States after spending 2 years in Japan wasn't all about baseball. It was more about Kobe making sure his family was taken care of.
So what was the decision like to come back? What started that whole process?
With me having roots here in Texas, they were the only team that was offering me a multi-year contract. And, it was a situation where I can get my wife and my son back on Major League insurance. And, it was kind of easy to come back, even if I didn't succeed or if I didn't do well. I felt like the window was still open for me to possibly go back to Japan after that.
So the family aspect really plays a major role in your baseball decisions.
I feel like I can speak for quite a few guys in the clubhouse. I mean, I think that's what we do this for, especially at this level. Once you get to a certain point in your career, that's all you want to do is you want to take care of your family. And for me, 3 kids now, and just really that's my main focus is to continue to go out, lead by example for my 2 boys and my daughter to overcome obstacles.
The baseball season spans from mid-February, starting with spring training when pitchers and catchers report, to at least early October and a little longer if you're lucky. Nearly 200 games when you factor in spring training games. And if you get to the postseason, it can go a little bit north of that. All in all, players and coaches are locked into the game of baseball for 8 to 9 months out of the year. With all the glitz and glamour that comes with being a ball player, there's also the sacrifices made behind the scenes. For Michael Young, it played a major role in his decision to retire from the game of baseball.
How did working in baseball impact your personal life?
Baseball's tough. You're on the road a lot. It's definitely tough being away from family. For me, that was a motivating factor to end my career and try and go on to a new phase of my life. That part is tough, but at the same time, that's what makes all the rewards worth it. You want it to be tough. You don't want it to be easy. You want it to be something you have to work for and be committed to. That's what makes it all worthwhile in the end.
What advice would you give to younger players and specifically couples on, surviving the rigorous schedule of a baseball season?
Couples, just constant communication. I mean, that's what you're going to spend some time in hotels and living out of a suitcase. So it's just constant communication. For a player, nothing, communicate with people around you, surround yourself with good people, and stay very positive.
On the other hand, Adrian Beltre and Shinsu Chu see the sacrifices as a part of the job, and they even enjoy the grind that is a Major League Baseball season.
I like baseball so much that sometimes we overlook those things. It's not easy, all the travel and all the, being in a city for 2-3 days and going back to the other one and seeing your family for weeks at a time. But it comes with the job, and I think that many people want to be in our shoes, so it's why we're going to complain.
Yeah, a lot of Korean people ask, people say you play 162 games, travel a lot, it's a lot. It's not easy to play in baseball, but for me, I played 8 years, close 8 years playing the minor leagues. You take a bus like 15, 17 hours after the game. So I think this kind of, for me, the major league travel, I think for me it's really fun. See a lot of different city. Every city is a little bit different, I learn something, and then I bring to my family some days. I think my kids for learn learn something. Every city is different. So learn four, and then for me, I think pretty exciting. There's trouble, yeah. You know, we have on fly, you know, you don't have to really tough, you know, check the body, you know, that's pretty easy, and then that's fun.
Rangers pitching coach Mike Maddux has been in the game of baseball nearly his entire life. He began his Major League Baseball career in 1986 and spent 15 years in the big leagues as a player and then continued in the minors as a coach and then eventually onto the major leagues. He's seen almost all there is to see in the game of baseball and has had to make some pretty big personal sacrifices to pursue his passion.
Well, I guess the toughest part of it is what you miss with your kids growing up. You know, there was times where you know, the kids would have their, my daughters would have their performances and things with school, and they would say, you know, Daddy, where are you? And I said, I'm the one holding the camera, you know, I'm behind the camera. And that's how I watched a lot of that stuff, that's the toughest part, is missing the things that are important, like your kids growing up. And that's something we can never get back. That's time we'll never get back. So the time that we have together, we really have to share it and endear it, because we know it's being a full-time father, but a part-time dad, you know, is kind of tough to do. Fortunately, you know, have a great wife and a great mother, and she's been able to keep everything together.
What advice would you give to younger players and specifically couples on making it through or surviving the travel schedule and the demands on your time?
Enjoy your time together. That's the best thing you can do, is enjoy it. Because you're going to be apart so much, enjoy your time together. It's okay to go on the road, too. Visit the cities, enjoy one another's company out of your own city. You'll love it. It's a great ride if you do it right. And enjoy your time together, because you're going to have enough time apart.
Even with all the travel and the time away from home, baseball players are creatures of habit. And after a few months away from the game, they are itching to get back to baseball. Fortunately for Mitch and Colby, their wives are very understanding.
I don't know about Colby, but around like January, Mitch starts itching.
Yes, getting ants in the pants.
Totally. To get back. And I'm okay with that at that point, because I'm like, dude, if you want to go back so bad, like.
I can tell too. I can always tell when he changes. There's something about him that changes. In January for him, he'll start doing 3 days where he'll work out and then do a cardio session and then start throwing. So January is when he does 3 days, and his whole personality changes. Yeah. And I can tell
back to baseball mode.
Yeah, he wants out of the house, and not in a negative way. I don't want that to be like he wants to escape the children or me. It's just
his switch goes off.
But yeah. It's like what we go back to. That's what they know.
Yeah.
It's what they love, and it's what they do. And
how many years have they been on that schedule where that's the time that they're used to going back to playing baseball?
Right. So Colby got drafted in 1999.
So many years.
17 yeah. years, I believe.
Wow.
2015. Yeah.
I mean, even if you go back to even like their college years or, you know,
they're used to.
Like it's just what they know.
Yeah.
That'll do it for another episode of Dugout Dirt. I'd like to give a special thank you to Susanna Moreland and Jenny Lewis for taking the time out and talking about baseball and how that impacts their world. Also, Adrian Beltre, Michael Young, Mike Maddux, Steve Buschel, and Shinsu Chu. From the marketing department, I'd like to thank Becky Kimbrough, Sarah Stone, and Nisa Pruitt, and everybody in the Rangers marketing department and the organization that allow this podcast to happen. Also, my editor and co-producer, Byron Hardy, for making me sound somewhat coherent. If you want more original Texas Rangers content, please visit texasrangers.com/neverever quit. This podcast is on iTunes and texasrangers.com/podcasts. And until next time, I'd like to thank you for listening. My name is Jared Couch, and we'll talk to you later.